بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We have begun in our previous class a new chapter, باب سجود السهو. باب سجود السهو, the chapter with regards to the frustration of forgetfulness, the chapter with regards to the clarifications of the rulings related to the prostration of a forgetfulness. If we look here, we see that the first narration the author he mentioned is a narration from Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, and he's narrating on Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So we have a choice tonight, and we see what the brothers would prefer to discuss in detail the biography of this tabi'i, Muhammad ibn Sirin, and the benefits from his life, which will take the class in the entirety, or to just have the brief mention of his biography and continue with the hadith and the benefits from the narration and the affairs related to sujood as-sahw. Afwan? What do you prefer?
I didn't get the question.
Okay. Somebody else who got the question? Nobody understood the question. We'll take the class asking the question. The biography. I said we have a choice. We can either take a detailed biography of this narrator, or we can just briefly mention him and continue with the class and the affairs related to this issue and the principles and rulings with regards to sujood as-sahw.
I want the
biography.
I want to know who we're taking on.
The author, he mentioned the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, he is mentioned by Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Imamu Shaykh al-Islam Abu Bakr al-Ansari Mawla Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that his name is Muhammad ibn Sirin, and he is an imam, rather he is Shaykh al-Islam, a great scholar, and his kunya is Abu Bakr al-Ansari, and he is the mawla of Anas ibn Malik. He is from the freed slaves of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. His father was a captive from a town called Ain al-Tamr, which is in al-Iraq. And it's mentioned that whenever this land was conquered, his father was in a church reading the Injil. And the Muslims, they conquered that land and opened up that land and called the people to Islam. And from them who accepted Islam was his father, Sirin. And he was a slave of Anas ibn Malik and radiallahu anhu. And then Anas, he set him free. And Sirin, he became upright, and he had children, a number of them. And from them, Anas ibn Sirin, and likewise Muhammad ibn Sirin. And the biography of Anas ibn Sirin has preceded, alhamdulillah. But here we have Muhammad ibn Sirin. And it's mentioned that he was born with 2 years left from the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So what year was that? When did Uthman become the Khalifa radiallahu anhu? after Umar in 23, in the year 23. Umar, he died in the year 23, radiallahu anhu, when Uthman, he had the Khilafah until the year 35. Until the year 35. So that means that Muhammad ibn Sirin, he was born approximately in the year 33 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 1 year after the death of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and his brother Anas was born after him by 1 year. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's from the Tabi'een. He's from those who learn from the companions. He's from the students of the companions. He heard from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and also Imran ibn Hussein and Ibn Abbas and Anas and Adi ibn Hatim and Zayd ibn Thabit, and other than them from the companions. It's mentioned about him that he heard from 30 different companions, and he learned and took knowledge from 30 different companions, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And likewise mentioned about him is that he used to be impaired in his hearing, and he was weak in his hearing, and he had kana bihi samam, that, and he was not entirely deaf, but he was partially deaf, and he could not hear well, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But the scholars of the hadith, and from them, Al-Sha'bi, rahimahullah, Al-Sha'bi, he died 1 year before Muhammad ibn Sirin, in the year 109. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he died in the year 110. Al-Sha'bi, he said, alaykum bihada al-asam, alaykum bihada al-asam, you should go learn from that deaf man, and you people should hasten to go benefit from him, meaning Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's mentioned about him, kana a'la bin nas fi al-basrati bil qada, that he was from the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the rulings of judgments and being a judge in the courts and the likes like this. And he also had great knowledge of the laws of inheritance, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise calculation. Kana hasan al-ilmi bil-fara'idhi wal-qada'i wal-hisab. And it was mentioned about him likewise that the salaf who met him, they would say, ma ra'aytu ahadan afqaha fi wara'ihi wala awra'a fi fiqhihi min Muhammad ibn Sirin. That we have never seen anybody who had a greater understanding in his piety, nor more piety in his understanding than Muhammad ibn Sirin. That there was, they never seen anybody more having greater understanding in his wara. And he had knowledge with regards to this. He would fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and leave off things and avoid them based upon knowledge. And likewise, they did not have more wara with regards to their understanding. And where he would obtain his knowledge from, and the likes like this. And it was known that he was stern with regards to taking knowledge and those whom he would benefit from. And we will see issues and examples of this, insha'Allah ta'ala. So he was very knowledgeable, and he had great understanding in the religion with regards to piety. And likewise, with regards to his knowledge, he was pious in that as well. And this means that it would carry him to apply his knowledge and to be afraid that his knowledge will be a proof against him. Abu Kilaba, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned about him, Isrifuhu kayfa shi'tum. Isrifuhu kayfa shi'tum. Falatajidunnahu ashaddakum wara'an wa amlakakum li nafsihi. He said, put him wherever you like. Put him in the field wherever you like. And he can be the imam, he can be behind the imam, he could be a leader, he could be in business, he could be in this position or in that position. Put him anywhere you like in the field, and you will find him that he is the most pious and righteous of you. And he is the one who fears Allah the most of you, and he is the one who has the most self-control. And he from amongst you, no matter where you put him, you will find him in control of his soul and checking his limits. And this is something that was known about him. Abu Uwana, he mentioned about him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ra'aytu Muhammad ibn Sirin fi suqi fama ra'ahu ahadun illa dhakara Allah. He said, I seen Muhammad ibn Sirin, he used to be a tajir, he used to be a businessman, he had business in the markets. So Abu Uwana, he says that I would see him in the market, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and nobody would see him except that he remembered Allah. Whoever saw him would remember Allah whenever they saw him. And this is what he was known for. He was known for righteousness and piety, and he was known for the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla in himself, and tell that others, whenever they saw him, then they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. then they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been mentioned about Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit al-Bunani, also another student of Anas ibn Malik, and his biography has proceeded likewise. Thabit al-Bunani, he is min athbat al-nasi fi Anas, and he's from the most firmest and strongest narrators who narrate the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 127. He said, Kana al-Hasanu, talking about Hassan al-Basri, كَانَ الْحَسَنُ مُتُوَارِيًا مِنَ الْحَجَّاجِ فَمَاتَتْ بِنْتٌ لَهُ. That Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to hide from al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqabi, he was a tyrant, and he was a very corrupt ruler. He had authority in the land, and he was an emir, and he used to cause much corruption and spill bloodshed, and there was much fitna with regards to him, and he harmed many of the people of knowledge, and even some of the companions. It's known about him. And Hassan al-Basri, he used to flee from him and hide from him. And then Thabit al-Bunani, he came to Hassan in his hiding to inform him that one of his daughters died. And he said, فَبَادَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ رَجَاءَ أَنْ يَكُولَ لِي صَلِّي عَلَيْهَا. So he hastened to al-Hassan. And Thabit, rahimahullah, he's going to inform Hassan of the death of his daughter. And he's hastening there because he wants to have the honor of leading the prayer. He wants to have the honor of leading the prayer. So at this time, he began crying, and his tears and his crying was heard. And he was very sad, Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he heard this. And at this time, he told Thabit, he said, اذهب إلى محمد بن سيرين فقول له ليصلي عليها. He said, go to Muhammad ibn Sirin and tell him to pray on her, to lead the people on them, to lead the people in the funeral prayer for her, or in the funeral prayer on her. And at this time, Thabit, he realized that nobody is compared to Muhammad ibn Sirin, and that Hassan al-Basri, and they used to be all peers, and all taking from Anas and Abu Hurairah and the likes like this. But whenever he seen this, he went there with hopes that he would be allowed to pray on his daughter. But then he's seeing now that he chose Muhammad ibn Sirin, so he knew the rank and status of this man. This is Muhammad ibn Sirin, the narrator of this narration, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Tabari, he mentioned about him. Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he mentioned about him. He said, كان ابن سيرين فقيهاً عاريماً ورياً أديباً ورياً أديباً كثير الحديث صدوقاً شهد له أهل العلم والفضل بذلك وَهُوَ حُجَّةٌ وَهُوَ حُجَّةٌ. They mentioned about Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was a faqih. He was a scholar of fiqh and jurisprudence. He had knowledge in the religion, and he was an alim and a scholar. And he was very pious and righteous and well-mannered. And he narrated many narrations, كثير الحديث صدوقاً. And he was very trustworthy, and his speech was reliable, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the people of knowledge and virtue, they witnessed this for him. وَهُوَ حُجَّةٌ. Al-Hujjah, this is one of the highest levels of praise with regards to narrators. You have thiqah, then you have hujjah. Yani hujjah is one of the highest levels, yani that he's a proof. Yani meaning he's a proof with regards to his speech, with regards to narrators, and the reality of those narrations that are accepted and that are not accepted. For this reason, Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about him, Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi has many books. From them, he has a book called Dhikru Man Yu'tamadu Qawluhu Fil Jahri Ta'dil. The book that's entitled the mention of those who their statements are relied upon in the science of Jahri Ta'dil. An indication that many people speak about these affairs, but not all of their statements are relied upon. But rather, there are only a few numbered people who their statements are relied upon in this affair. Dhahabi, he mentioned in this book in the very beginning, he said, فَأَوْلُ مَنْ زَكَّى وَجَرَّحَ عِنْدَ انْكِرَاضِ عَصْرِ الصَّحَابَةِ الشَّعْبِيُّ وَابْنُ السِّرِينَ وَنَحْوُهُمَا حُفِظَ أَنْهُمْ تَوْثِيقُ أُنَاسٍ وَتَضْعِيفُ آخَرِينَ. That the very first of those people to praise the narrators and to find fault with them and criticize them in the end of the era of the companions was al-Sha'bi. He died in 109, and Muhammad ibn Sirin, he died in the year 110, and the likes of them. And the praisal of people was memorized and learned from them, and likewise the fault and criticism of others. Yani, so they were the first to narrate yani, about the narrators and to speak about them and to clarify that so-and-so his narrations are reliable and authentic and so-and-so his narrations are not reliable and authentic until those who came after them, they memorized their statements and that which was transmitted from them. And the authenticity of narrations and the narrators was known by the likes of these individuals. It was known by the likes of these individuals from the first of them. Whenever the life of the companions and the era of the companions are ending, this man here, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from his famous statements with regards to this, is what Al-Imam Muslim, he has mentioned in the Muqaddimah, in the introduction of Sahih Muslim. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, many narrations with regards to this science of Jahr wa Ta'dil. And he mentioned his chain to Muhammad ibn Sirin. And he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسْأَلُونَ عَنَ الْإِسْنَادِ فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. He said that they didn't used to ask about the chain. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, his mashayikh, they're from the Sahaba. They're from the Sahaba. Those who he learned from are from the companions and the major tabi'een, those tabi'een who met many of the companions. He said that they used to not ask about the chain. They didn't used to ask about the chain of the narrators any in their times. He said, فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ قَالُوا سَنُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But whenever the trials began, they started saying, tell us who you heard this from. Tell us the names of the people who you heard this narration from. Tell us the names of the men who you took this narration from and this hadith from or this understanding from. And the likes like this. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ. The fitna that occurred, what is intended here, and Allah knows best, is the death of Uthman, the murder of Uthman, radiallahu anhu. And at this time, the ummah split, and the desires and the whims came, and the misguidance and creed occurred, and with the Khawarij, and then after that, the Rawafid and the Qadariya, and so on and so forth, until now it's a requirement to verify the narrations, because people are narrating now, and they're not reliable, and they're not trustworthy, and they're upon innovation, and they're upon misguided understandings. And at this time, whenever this division occurred, at the time of the death of Uthman, and the appearance of the Khawarij, and the likes like this, قَالُوا سَنْمُوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. They started saying, tell us who you heard that from. Tell us the names of those narrators that you heard that from. He said, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ وَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ فَلَا يُخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. So they would look to the people of the Sunnah. They would look to Ahl Sunnah and they would take their narrations. And they would look to the people of innovation and they would not take their narrations. So we see here Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 110. And here he is clarifying that they would look to Ahl Sunnah. فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ فَيُخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. They would look to the people of the Sunnah. Who are the people of the Sunnah? And his era, the Tabi'een. And the Sahaba, those who are upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who are upon the way of Abi Hurairah, and in his time, and Imran ibn Hussein, and Zayd ibn Thabit, and the likes of them, radiallahu anhum, and then those who learn from them, those who are upon their way, they will look to them and they will take their hadith. Anybody who's not upon their way, they will look to them and they will not take their hadith. This is something that was known, yani, from the very beginning, and he is the first of those to mention that. It's mentioned about him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, كَانَ يُحَدِّثُهُ الرَّجُلُ فَلَا يُقْبِرُ عَلَيْهِ. That a man would narrate narrations to him, and he would not even pay him any attention. He would not listen to him. And then he would say to him, فَيُقُولُ مَا أَتَّهِمُكَ وَلَا الَّذِي يُحَدِّثُكَ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ بَيْنَكُمَا أَتَّهِمُهُ. And this shows his diligence and his strong understanding with regards to this affair of where the knowledge comes. And somebody would narrate to him narrations and he would not pay him no attention or no mind. And then he would tell that individual, he says, I'm not accusing you. Don't think I'm not paying attention to your narrations because of you. I'm not accusing you. And I'm not accusing the one that narrated to you. And that you're saying that narrated to you, but I'm accusing the one that's between the two of you. Meaning he's aware that there is somebody he's not mentioned in that chain. That there's somebody that's not mentioned and that he's aware of these affairs. I'm accusing the one who's between the two of you. And meaning that he knows that there's somebody between those two narrators. So he would check the chain and he would verify this affair. So the chain, it has to be connected. And then those who are in the chain, they have to have heard from every one of them, the ones before, and benefited from the ones before in order for it to be connected. And they had to be alive at the same time, so on and so forth. So this is something that he was from the beginning of those who verify these affairs. And he was from the beginning of those who started this great issue of checking the chain and verifying the knowledge. And those who want to have success and they want to have safety and security in this life from misguidance and innovation and from whims, and they want to have the pleasure of Allah and His mercy in the hereafter, then they have to follow this way. And he has to have a link to this chain that goes back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and understand his creed the way they understood the creed, and understand the actions of worship the way they understood the actions of worship, and to understand the methodology of dealing with the people the way they understood the methodology. And this is the true Islam, and this is the correct religion and the correct deen. And you need to follow their way, to follow the way of As-Salaf As-Salih. As-Salaf As-Salih, any inwardly and outwardly, in creed and belief, in worship and manners and conduct and etiquettes and every aspect. And these are those men. These are those men, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned about him that Mahdi ibn Maymun, he saw him. Ra'aytu Muhammad ibn Sirin yuhadithu bi ahadith an-nas wa yunshidu ash-shi'r wa yadhhaku hatta yamil fa idha ja'a bil hadith min al-musnad kalaha wa takhabbada. And he mentioned about him, he said, I saw Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, that he used to speak about the speech of the people. And he talked about the affairs of the dunya with the people. And he used to mention poetry. And he used to laugh sometimes until he would lean on his side. But then whenever they started speaking about the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would become real serious. And he would get tight. And he would tighten. He would get serious and he would tighten up and be serious about the affair. So this is the case. Whenever the narrations would come, he's serious. But at the same time, he's from the people. He's from the people. He would benefit and laugh with his brothers. And this is what is mentioned about him. He said, if he was asked about the halal and the haram, تغير لونه كأنه ليس بالذي كان. He said that if he was asked about halal and haram, the face, the color of his skin would change. If he's asked about halal and haram, what's this? Is this halal? Is it haram? The color on his skin would change, until they would say, "Is this the same person that we were talking to before?" Yani, because of how serious the affair would be. Many times, people, they would never even learn the Arabic language, and the best they have with regards to the Islamic sciences is Google. And then you ask them about something of the halal and the haram, and they'll be the first one to speak about it, and the first one to raise their voice, and the first one to give the fatwa. And this is contrary to the Salafi way. This is contrary to the way of the Salaf. Rather, they would speak about the deen with caution and with fear and with piety. And they would not hasten to speak. And they would not hasten to speak. And they would only speak whenever it's required for them. And they would speak with knowledge and justice. And they would speak with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would speak about the deen of Allah with fear. It's mentioned about him, أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَسُومُ يَوْمًا وَيُفْطِرُ يَوْمًا, that he used to fast one day and break the fast the other day. And the fast of Dawood, he was known for this. He was known to be somebody who fasted and who was somebody who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was known for his actions. He was known for his actions. It's mentioned by Jarir ibn Hazm, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that that he was with Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, and they're in a gathering. فَذَكَرَ رَجُلًا, so someone mentioned a man. فمحمد بن سيرين قال ذاك الأسود, you mean the black one, the black man. And then he said after that, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ إِنِّي اكْتَبْتُهُ. Somebody mentioned a man's name, and then he said the black one. And then after that he felt bad. He said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. When do you say that? And إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When do you say that? Whenever there's a calamity, the loss of life or wealth or property, a great sickness, a great calamity. He said, now he just asked about this man, you mean the black one, like this. And then he said, Inna lillah, he said, Inni aktabtuhu, I just fell into backbiting of this man. I just fell into backbiting of this man. He's not talking of, and this is something that's permissible, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, and to identify an individual, to mention a characteristic or trait about him as a means of identification, this is allowed. If somebody said, you know, so-and-so came, so-and-so who? You know, so-and-so with a bad leg, or so-and-so with the limp, like this is permissible. So-and-so, then you know, the black one, like this, or the white one, like this, or so-and-so, you know, the one who, like this, and to mention that in order to identify him is allowed. But he was extremely afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal and sincere until the extent that this is how he would act. And he, you mean the black one? Oh, astaghfirullah, inna lillahi, this is a calamity. I just backbid this person. Many people who claim with their tongues to the way of the likes of Muhammad ibn Sirin, that's how they spend their days and nights, backbiting the people. Many of them, they can't sit in a gathering except if they backbite the people. And many of them, and this is something that's well known, may Allah guide us and guide the Muslims, they will not wait just to backbite the people, rather they'll pick the best of the people to backbite, the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, the upright and well-known scholars, they'll backbite them and speak ill about them and then think that they're raising themselves. This is not the way. This man, he said, you mean the black one? He feels like it's a calamity. He feels like he committed a major sin. Like, and he feels bad about that. Verily, I just backbit this man. Verily, I just backbit this man. So this is from the examples of why they're called As-Salaf As-Salih, the pious predecessors, the righteous predecessors. It's mentioned about him, likewise, كَانَ يَتَّجِرُ فَكَانَ he was a tajir, he was a businessman. فِي ذَرْتَابَ فِي شَيْءٍ تَرَكَهُ. And if he ever had any doubts about anything in his business, he would leave it. He is a businessman and he's known to do business. But also what's known about him is that if anything was doubtful about his business, he would leave it. Either whenever he's doing it or after it's done. It's mentioned more than one story about him. One time it's mentioned that he had great success in a business, in a far land. And he had bought some items, and he made $80,000 profit. Oh, not dollars, 80,000 dirham, yani 80,000 profit from this transaction. And it was a great transaction. And then it's mentioned about him that something crossed his mind and he started thinking about it and he was afraid that it was illegal. He left it all. Hisham ibn Hassan, he's one of his students, he's narrated this narration. He said, Wallahi ma huwa bi riba. He said, I swear by Allah, he left what he was worried about was not interest. And he left it for the sake of Allah, but in reality there's no need for him to leave it. He did that because he was afraid. It was something that was yani, it was permissible, but it was in his heart and he thought that it was wrong. So therefore he left all that profit. And he didn't think twice about that. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Also it's been mentioned about him that another time he was in the end of his life, he was actually imprisoned. He was imprisoned because of debt. He had a 40,000 dinar debt. And it's mentioned about him that the reason because of that, he bought some food. He bought some food for 40,000, and he took a loan to get the food to sell it for 40,000. And then somebody came to him and told him something about the food. And he's something that the origin of the food had some shubha in it. And the likes like that had a doubt in it. So now he's undoubtful. He just took a loan, 40,000, and to get the food to sell it and to profit from it. And they come to find out. Now somebody informed him and made him have a doubt about the food. So therefore he gave it all away in charity. And he took the debt. And now he is in debt until the extent that there was a woman who had the debt. And he was in prison because of that. And he went to prison because of this in the end. And he was not able to pay his debt. Why? Because he was afraid that there was something, some haram dealing in this affair. So he was ready to take whatever hardship or whatever loss in the dunya. But as for the deen, he's not ready to take any loss whatsoever. He's not ready to compromise the deen whatsoever. He's not going to sell his religion. Not for 40,000 and not for four. Not for 40, not for 40,000. Not for anything. Rather, he will prefer yani to deal with this affair, to deal with this debt. And it's known that debt is blameworthy. Being in debt like this is blameworthy. But he left it for the sake of Allah like this, rahimahullah ta'ala. And what was mentioned about him, that he mentioned the reason why this happened to him. And it didn't, this is the time to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that he had left. This is the time to say that this is a calamity that he fell into, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says that he knows why this happened. He said qultu marratan lirajul ya muflis fa'uqibtu. He said one time I said to somebody, oh, you bankrupt person. He called him muflis. And he said I know why this happened to me. One time I told somebody I was doing business with, I said, you bankrupt person, yeah, muflis, like that. He said, for uqibtu, so this is my punishment. This is my punishment now. I talked bad about this person and called him names, and I violated the right of this Muslim, and now I'm being punished because of this. That's how I got myself in this situation. This is his understanding. He didn't blame so-and-so. Oh, how come you didn't tell me? Oh, well, you wait till now to tell me? He blamed himself. He blamed himself, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, this is the reason why this happened to me. This is the reason why this happened to me. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, he died in like 200, in the early 200s, 212 or 14, 15, in this area like this. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, whenever he heard about this narration, he said, قَلَّتْ ذُنُوبُهُمْ فَعَرَفُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أُوتُوا. He said, these people here, their sins were few, so they know, you know, he's able to identify where his calamities came from. He says, أَمَّا نَحْنُ فَكَثْرَ ذُنُوبُنَا. As for us, فَلَا نَدْرِي مَنْ أَيْنَا نُؤْتَى. He said, as for us, then we have many sins. We don't know which one is the reason for the calamities that we find ourselves in. And meaning that the likes of these people, their sins were few, until the extent that they knew if something bad happened to him, he'd be like, oh yeah, this is that one sin. And also, this is an indication that they used to take themselves into account, that he remembers his sins, that he knows that I did this one time I said that to that man. He didn't forget that, he remembered that. Until whenever calamity befall him, he was like, this is the reason why. So this is also from their way that they would count their sins, and they would remember their sins, and they would not look at them like they're nothing. Rather, this is something that he considered major. He's in a major calamity, 40,000 in debt. And he's saying the reason for that is because he said, oh, you're bankrupt. He just told him, you're bankrupt. Ya muflis, oh, bankrupt one. You got no money. Like that. What do people say nowadays to each other? Yani, subhanallah, Allahu musta'an. So this is the case with these people, though. This is how we should be like them. If next time somebody makes somebody mad and he wants to say something, he should remember this. He was put in $40,000 debt and then in prison because of this affair. And because he said so to somebody, you're muflis, you're bankrupt. So how about if he said something worse than that or greater than that? Then a believer, he'll remember these affairs and he'll take them as role models. And likewise, he'll remember these affairs that he would leave if he's doubtful about something in his business. And that he's doing in the middle of a transaction, he'll just leave it. I don't need to do it. I'm not going to sign the contract. I'm going to get a different contract. I'm not messing with you. Bring me something different. I don't want to do this deal right here. Oh, this deal right here? Oh, billah. Just keep the money. It's all good. I don't even want it. Get rid of it. Give it to so-and-so. Like this, put it in the charity box. Whatever the case may be. And he, out of fear of Allah, out of piety, out of the remembrance of Allah, out of fear of standing before Allah and being held accountable. He was in prison, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is from the amazing affairs of the Salaf al-Salih. That the Sajjan, he's the guard, the prison guard. And while now he's in prison, the prison guard came to him. He says, إِذَا كَانَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ فِذَا أَسْبَحْتَ فَتَعَالِ. He said, the prison guard came to him and told him, he said, you know, if it at nighttime, go ahead to your family, go home to your family. In the morning, you just come back over here. You know, I'll let you out. He knows him. He's righteous. He's Muhammad ibn Sirin. Everybody knows he's a student of Anas and Abi Hurairah and so on. So the guard, he wants to help him. The guard is like, man, just go to your family at nighttime and come back over here in the morning time, and I won't say nothing. Good opportunity. What did he say, rahimahullah? He says, La wallahi. La wallahi. He said, no, I swear by Allah. La akunu laka awnan ala khiyanati sultan. He said, no way, I'll never help you betray the leader. I'll never. He said, wallahi, no way, I'll never help you and cooperate with you upon betraying the leader. And he is somebody who's fulfilling his covenants and fulfilling his oaths. This goes back to that statement of Abi Qilab, Isrifu haythu shittum, put him wherever you like, you'll find him the most pious. Put him in prison. Give him the opportunity to go home at nighttime and come back in the daytime. You'll find him the most ashaddakum wara'an. This is an example of that. And he is seriously afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal until he is able to check himself and control himself. And that's a great desire. Somebody who is incarcerated in prison, they give him the opportunity to go to his family at nighttime and come back in the morning time. Nobody will know. The guard is going to help him and cover his tracks. Yeah, this is a great temptation. But he said, La wallahi, no way, I swear by Allah, I'll never help you betray the ruler. I'll never help you betray the ruler. Subhanallah. This is from the great examples of As-Salaf As-Salih. And they mentioned about him that his affair with the people in general. It's mentioned about him likewise that he used to wear expensive clothing, and he used to wear a nice white thobe, and he used to wear a nice imama, and he used to be nice in his appearance. And this is not something that contradicts piety and righteousness. Rather, the Salaf, if they had wealth, they would wear good clothing, and they would have a nice appearance. And it's mentioned even likewise after him about Al-Imam Malik, for example, rahimahullah. He died in the year 179, much after. And he's from the Atba' Tabi'een, rahimahullah, but he would wear the beautiful clothing, expensive clothing, especially whenever he's going to sit and teach the people the hadith in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the fact that a person, he will have nice clothing, or he will have nice food, or the likes like this, and he has the expenses for this, this is not a sign that he is wicked, or that he is not pious or righteous. Rather, these are the most righteous people, but at the same time, they had a nice appearance, and if they had blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla, it would be seen on them, and the likes like that. So this is something that a believer, he would take note of. If he wants to be righteous, it doesn't mean he has to have dirty clothing, or he has to have be in poverty and the likes like this, but rather a believer, he can have the good of this life, and he can have a good portion of this life while he is upright and righteous. Rather, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, is from the most righteous, and he is from the Salaf as-Salih, literally. And he literally, with meaning the meaning of the word, as-Salaf as-Salih. And here he is, he wore the best of clothing, the best of the white clothing. And we see likewise also from those who were like that was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. He used to wear the nicest of clothing and the best of perfume. And this is the way. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise, he encouraged. With regards to his mother, this is something that likewise is very important to pay attention to and to take him as a role model in. The Salaf, they mentioned about him, كَانَ إِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ أُمِّهِ لَوْ رَآهُ رَجُلٌ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ بِهِ مَرَضٌ ظَنَّ أَنَّ بِهِ مَرَضًا مِنْ خَفْضِ كَلَامِهِ عِنْدَهَا. That if he was with his mother, if Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, was it with his mother, and somebody saw him who did not know who he was, they would think that he was sick and ill because of how low he would lower his voice and in the manner that he would speak to her. He would lower his tone to the extent that if somebody did not know better, they'd think that he's sick and there's a problem with him. And he have his humbleness and humility before his mother, and he lowering his voice. And this is the calamity that we're trying within these days, the children raising their voices to their parents, the children raising their voices to their parents over the smallest thing, or over the littlest thing, put up the computer or turn off the internet or come downstairs. And many times a child, he will raise his voice over his parents, and this is a major sin, and this is a major calamity, and this is from the signs of the last day. This is from the signs of the last day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, وَتَرِدْ الْعَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that a slave woman will give birth to her master. One of the interpretations of this is that the children, they will be like acting like their masters, and that that their parents are slaves, meaning any تَكْثُرُ فِي أَوَاخِرِ الْأَيَامِ الْعُقُوقِ, that there will be a lot of disobedience to the parents. It will become something that is common to disobey the parents, and this is something that the people are tried within these days. As for a Salaf as-Salih, somebody, whenever they saw him speaking to his mother, they might think that he's sick. They might think that he's sick because of how he would lower his voice and how he would humble himself before his mother and the likes like this. And it's mentioned about him, likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, he had a son named Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Sirin. He says, "Lamma dhamantu ala abi daynahu, qala li bil wafa." He said, before he died, Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said his son Abdullah came to him and he said, "Whenever I guaranteed my father that I would pay his debt, and now he still has debt." So Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's trying to get out of debt. So his son guaranteed for him that he would pay the debt. So then he said that his father said to him after, he said, "I guarantee you, father, I'm going to pay your debt." He said, "Bil wafa." He said, "You want to fulfill it properly?" He said, "Naam." He said, "Bil wafa." He said, "I'm going to pay your debt." So they mentioned about him that at this time, Abdullah, he says, "Fada'a li bi khayrin." "Fada'a li bi khayrin." So at this time, he made dua for me. He made dua for me. My father, he made dua. When I told him, "I guarantee you, I'm going to pay your debt for you, inshallah," he said he made dua for me. He said, so Abdullah, he paid that debt, 30,000. At this time, it was 30,000. He paid his debt, 30,000. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And those who narrated these narrations, they mentioned about Abdullah himself, that whenever he died, they counted for him 300,000. And he 300,000, and he had multiplied himself. He paid the debt for his father, 30,000. And then whenever he died himself, he died and he left behind 300,000. 300,000 or more, they mentioned about him, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this, again, is a great reminder for those children, and those who have parents, that by obeying the parents and taking care of the parents, here he took care of the debt of his father. And therefore his father, he made supplication for him. And then he helped him and took care of his debt. So what happened to his wealth? Did it decrease? It mentioned that his wealth, it multiplied a number of times. It multiplied a number of times. So therefore a believer, he will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be kind to his parents, following a salaf as-salih. Following a salaf as-salih. This is something that is incumbent. You need those people who claim this methodology and manhaj, and then they belittle their parents and speak ill to them, then the manhaj, al-manhaj al-salafi, is in one valley, like the people of knowledge mentioned, and this person and his manners is in another. Al-manhaj al-salafi is a vast methodology. It's not just a tunnel vision, rather it includes the whole life of a person. It includes the whole life of a person, beginning with his creed, and beginning with his faith, and beginning with the application of that creed. That's the manhaj, the application of the creed, and applying that in worship and in deed and in conduct and in manners and in speech. This is the way that is required. This is the way that is required. It's mentioned that he died, rahimahullahu ta'ala, about 100 days after Al-Hasan al-Basri, that both of them died in the year 110. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, he died after him by about 100 days. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that they saw both of them in a dream later, and they were both of them muqayyid. They're both of them muqayyid. They're both of them in shackles. They've seen Al-Hasan, he's muqayyid. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's muqayyid. Yani that he was in shackles. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, he was very diligent and knowledgeable with regards to the interpretation of dreams. One thing was mentioned about him, that he was very shy and afraid to give the fatwa in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. This has proceeded. But he would hasten to interpret the dreams. And it's known about Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was given a gift with this affair. And he was blessed with the ability to interpret dreams. And then Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned that, and he mentioned many of his interpretations, a number of them. And then after that, he said, there's so many amazing affairs that he has interpreted that's been mentioned in his biography, that if we mention them all, it would take too long and make the book too long. And so he just summarized it like this. But one thing, that was seen in a dream about him and about Al-Hasan al-Basri, is that both of them, they were in chains. Muqayyid meaning that they're chained up and shackled. They're chained up and shackled. Anybody know anything about the interpretation of dreams? And a person who is chained and shackled in his dream, and if somebody saw somebody chained and shackled or tied down in his dream where he can't move, he saw somebody like that, he saw himself or somebody else, then the people of knowledge, they have an interpretation for this. Somebody might think initially that this is a bad sign, huh? Maybe he's shackled up. So we've seen so-and-so chained up, shackled down. Somebody might think that this might be a bad sign, huh? Any possibly, but it's not. It's a good sign, huh? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is a sign of thabat or istiqama, that they were restricted to the sunnah, that they were steadfast and firm upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a sign, and a good sign for somebody. If it was seen in a dream for him that he's chained down or he's shackled down, and it lies like this, and he muqayyid, and that's how it comes, and that means to be shackled down or to be chained down or to be restricted. The people of knowledge mentioned that this is a sign of steadfastness in the deen and firmness upon the sunnah and obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So it's mentioned about him and al-Hasan that it was seen for them like this. Yani, and there are many narrations mentioned about him. Al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he's from the tabaqa after al-Hasan and after Muhammad ibn Sirin. He's from Atba'i Tabi'in. He died in 157. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, one of his teachers told him, he said, you need to go to Al-Basra. You need to go to Al-Basra to catch Muhammad ibn Sirin. So he traveled there. Al-Awza'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he caught Muhammad ibn Sirin on his deathbed. Yani, and he was not able to narrate from him. Yani, he visited him in this manner like this, but he did not benefit from narrations. Al-Dhahabi closed this biography. Then he said, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him. And then he mentioned that it has reached him that his mother's name, Muhammad ibn Sirin, his mother's name was Safiya. And she was the freed slave of Abi Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu wa as-sahabati ajma'in. Wallahu a'lam about the authenticity of that. But in any case, we see that this is this great man. He's from the pious and the righteous predecessors. He's from the narrators of hadith. He's from those who had the correct belief and creed. He's from those who are our role models, that we should learn about them and follow them. We should learn about them and we should follow them. And he is from those who Allah has praised in his book, As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, min al-Muhajireen wal-Ansar, wal-Ladheena tabi'uuhum bi-Ihsan, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that the first and foremost from those who migrated, and then those who aided them, likewise from the Ansar, and those who follow them bi ihsan, those who follow them bi ihsan, meaning those who follow them bil itqani wa sidq, those who follow them precisely and truthfully. Many people claim to follow them, but if you look at them in reality, they're not following them. Claims will not benefit a person. It's easy for anybody to claim these things. I love Allah. That's easy. All of the Muslims, they claim that. And all of them, they have some right to that claim, but they are not the same in that. I love the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the people, they claim that. All of the Muslims, they claim that. And all of them, they have a portion, no doubt. But they're not the same in that. I'm on the way of the Salaf al-Salih, like this. These claims, these are beautiful. No doubt about a believer, he would claim that, and he would ascribe to that. But he would not just leave it there. And his description will not be statements only. And actions, they speak louder than words. And actions, they speak louder than words. So a believer, he will say that, and then he will comply to that, and he will do what it requires for him to be upon their way, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly, in his creed and his belief, and that will carry him in his manners and his conduct and his dealings to be like them, righteous. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.